Bitcoin today ran smack into a big Chinese wall.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the global perspective on business and economics. Today, China's central bank officially barred Chinese banks from offering services connected to the virtual digital currency Bitcoin. The government there also issued a new set of regulations for Bitcoin exchanges in China. It's early for us, but in Shanghai's time zone, Marketplace's bureau chief Rob Schmitz is working late. Hey, Rob.
Hey, David. How are you doing?
So how big is Bitcoin in China?
Bitcoin is a currency that transcends political boundaries, as you know, David. But China is quickly becoming Bitcoin's biggest market when you consider that the world's biggest Bitcoin exchange is right here down the road from me in Shanghai. China, of course, is home to a lot of speculators. And at the moment, the returns on Bitcoin are actually better than investing in China's booming property market. But it's not without its dangers. And that's where the People's Bank of China, or the PBOC, comes in. Today, I spoke to Zenon Kaprin, head of Kaprin Asia and an expert on all things Bitcoin, about these new PBOC rules. And here's what he said.
So I think the comments that we've seen from the PBOC today are positive insofar that it is a measured approach. And it's not shutting down something that's completely not understood. But they recognize that it does have potential. But they just want to limit it at the beginning, at least.
Can the People's Bank of China actually shut down Bitcoin if they wanted to?
That's a very good question. You know, the way to regulate Bitcoin would be to target the Bitcoin exchanges where you exchange Bitcoin for either a physical good or another currency. And the People's Bank of China did announce that it would require licenses from Bitcoin exchanges inside of China. They'll be required to file trading records and to take measures to prevent money laundering risks.
Have there been these kinds of problems with Bitcoin in China?
Yeah. In October, a Bitcoin exchange registered in Hong Kong shut down overnight, taking more than $3 million worth of people's money along with them. Police finally caught the suspects, but it showed how dangerous investing in this digital currency can potentially be in China. And it's part of the reason China's central bank did what it did today.
Rob Schmitz is Marketplace's China correspondent. He's in Shanghai. Rob, thank you.
Thanks, David.
And a rare moment of plain speaking today from Alan Greenspan, who during his tenure as Federal Reserve Chairman tended to speak in code. In an interview with Bloomberg News, Greenspan said of Bitcoin, is it a bubble? Yeah, it's a bubble. In March, a Bitcoin was worth about $35. It hit a record high of $1,100 on Saturday. But with this China news this morning, Bitcoin is trading down at around $928. Now let's do some more numbers. The FT 100 in London is down a point. Dow and S&P futures are down, but the Nasdaq is pointing up. The key index in Hong Kong fell a tenth percent. That bundle of volatility known as the Nikkei in Japan fell 1.5%. Apple has just won the deal it was looking for in China. China Mobile, with 700 million customers, will now carry Apple's iPhone. Next week, China Mobile will reveal the brand it's created to push its new 4G service to make smartphones run faster in the world's largest phone market. As federal health care reform unfolds, we're continuing to follow the city of Camden, New Jersey, to see how the new law affects one community. Today, it's a visit to Cooper University Hospital, which is expecting a surge of patients starting next month as millions of people get health insurance, some for the first time. The question for hospital executives is how to manage this new population. From the health desk at WHYY in Philadelphia, Marketplace's Dan Gorenstein offers this hint: take a page from the airline industry.
Here's the problem with some patients at Cooper Hospital.
The no-show rate, it's in the high 20s, 25 to 30%.
That's Jonathan Vogan.
I'm the numbers guy.
Vogan works at Cooper's outpatient clinic, the Urban Health Institute. UHI serves more than 8,000 patients, virtually all of them low income. Vogan says the poorer the patients, the more likely they'll miss their appointments. And in medicine, time's money. So what's the fix?
If not all of your patients show up, that the easiest thing to do is, well, just book more of them.
And there are going to be a lot more of them. In the next year, 9 million new people are expected to sign up for Medicaid as part of the new health law. But convincing doctors at Cooper to act like airline executives hasn't been easy.
There was a little pushback based on the concern of what if all these patients show up.
That's Dr. Philip Dellinger, medical director at Cooper. Dellinger said physicians had to be sold on what Cooper administrators call smart booking.
By far the best way to get physicians to change their behavior You need to show them data on what they're doing.
When about a quarter of patients miss appointments, that's some persuasive data. For now, smart booking seems to be working at Cooper. UHI Executive Director Kathy Stillo expects to cut losses from no-shows by 10% this year.
And our goal is to lose less and ultimately to at least break even. But what we need to do now is apply business thinking to solve the problems within how you deliver care to patients.
Of course, Northwestern professor Martin LaRivière says overbooking has its downsides. Just ask any frequent flyer.
The biggest threat is poor service, that customers or patients are constantly having long waits imposed on them.
For now, the clinic's willing to risk that. Long term, Stillo says the goal is to identify patients who don't show up and figure out how to get them to the doctor. I'm Dan Gorenstein for Marketplace.
And I like to tell students if they want success in life to show up to work on time, shower occasionally, and learn to speak Mandarin. Now, Britain's prime minister has gotten religion on this. He didn't mention the punctuality or personal hygiene part. But Prime Minister David Cameron today told British pupils to learn Mandarin. He wants young people, quote, learning the languages to seal tomorrow's business deals. Cameron, it should be pointed out, is just back from a 3-day trip to China and sounds pretty jazzed on all things Chinese. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.